What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds. Oh, what a special episode. Hey, everybody, I'm excited. I'm more excited than a pulled pork sandwich. I am thrilled, guys. Welcome to this episode of What's for Dinner. Now, you guys, if you've listened to the show recently, you know that a lot of my shows have been taking place in my car, driving gig to gig, sometimes with another comic, sometimes by myself. Well, this one, I think, is the ultimate driving podcast, because I am broadcasting from the tour bus of the Armed Forces Entertainment tour that I'm on right now with Adam Hunter, Mike Cirklin, and Brian Swinehart. And we're literally in the back of a tour bus while our amazing driver Mike is driving us. And Adam's sleeping because he's a pussy. But I'm here with Mike Cirklin.
Hey. We're actually in the back of Erykah Badu's bus, the one she uses when she comes to
Erykah
Europe.
Badu's
that's
bus?
What Mike. Yeah, Mike drives her around when she comes to. He says they take out these couches and put it like a big bed back here so she could sleep in.
So that's Erykah's Bedu. And also Brian Swinehart's here.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I've been eating a lot of pulled pork sandwiches. That I've been stealing from the guys, so it's been good.
Yeah, because we've already mentioned pulled pork. Let's just start with that, because what's for dinner? Pulled pork. Yesterday we did a show where we've been in Brussels, Belgium.
Uh-huh.
And last night we're leaving here right now.
The Netherlands.
We're in the Netherlands. I don't know specifically what town.
Yeah, I feel like we're in the country. If the Netherlands, everybody's like, thinking Amsterdam and Rotterdam and weed. Yes, you're correct, but we're on the other side of the country.
We're not in Amsterdam. We're in nobody gives a damn.
Yes.
We're in no man's damn land. And they fed us at this base. And thank you guys very much to the Shinnin.
Shinnin,
This was the base we were at. And they gave us all these homemade pulled pork, and we had some dinner beforehand. And after the show, it was Mike who first said, I'm going to go get some leftovers and take them back. And then Mike and Brian essentially just made a fucking pulled pork. Like, they had a plate of just pulled pork. It was more pork than plate. And then Adam and I go back there. We're like, there's nothing left. And you still haven't eaten your fucking pork, have you?
Yeah, no.
I'm saving it. You know, we've been eating pretty good, so I've been full. You know, we've been eating good breakfasts every morning, so I'm going to wait till...
Breakfasts?
Yeah, breakfasts.
Breakfast? What are you, like, Mushmouth from
Fat
Elf?
He's a linguistics master over here. I think He's getting messed up with all the different languages because people were speaking, French a couple of days ago. Now they're speaking...
I didn't know. I feel so stupid. I didn't know they speak French. That was the language of Belgium.
Yeah, well, I guess there is no, like, Belgiumese or whatever, you know.
No, so Belgiumese?
Belgiumese. I don't know what you would call it.
It's true.
But, yeah, it's French, and then here we're in, in the Netherlands, so they speak Dutch and German. But to me, I can't tell the difference between Dutch and German. They just sound really pissed off all the time.
Open with that.
Thank you.
But this is fun. So, and Mike, this is your third?
This is my third tour with Adam. We were in the Middle East 2 years ago. And I was telling, like, Brian, because this is his first one, and, you know, this is awesome. I go, you know, the Middle East was fun, and you really were doing, you know, you were out there, you were helping raise morale, but it was like camp, you know, like 8 in the morning, breakfast, 8:30, meet with these troops, 9:30, meet with these troops, 10 o'clock, go here, 11 o'clock, eat lunch, you know, it was like very regimented. Now we're staying in beautiful hotels, we're eating buffets, we're going down. Can we talk about where we went in Belgium?
Oh, yeah.
We went down to the red light district.
Yes,
you know,
we're going to talk about that in more detail in a minute.
And so, last tour, we were in Singapore, Diego Garcia, and Bahrain.
You were in Diego Garcia?
Diego Garcia, yeah.
Which by the way, is a Hispanic prostitute.
Yes.
Hello, my name is Diego Garcia. Come inside me. Come inside.
I believe she was in the middle of the block at the red light district. She was... Window number 7.
We definitely got to talk about that. But Swinehart, this is your first, right?
Yeah, this is my first.
You're getting
time.
Spoiled, man.
You really are. I might have to just retire after this one because I don't think anything could possibly match this trip ever.
No.
It's amazing.
Yeah, because like Cirklin was saying, like I did my first time out was a Middle East tour when I went to Iraq in 2009, and it was it wasn't as bad as a lot of Iraq tours, but compared to this, it was fucking, it was brutal. Just flying around every day in like Black Hawk helicopters, which was cool the first couple times, but after a while, it's like, this is fucking loud, it's cold, it's noisy, and I'm about to throw up. So yeah, you're definitely getting spoiled, man.
For sure.
Yeah, we gotta haze him somehow.
Now, was
we
there
should,
ever
like, piss in his pork?
Was there? Well, we're gonna be on. This is gonna be our first base that we've been on this tour for, you know, 4 or 5 days already, and this is gonna be our first base that we're actually staying at.
That we're staying at. That's true.
So he'll get a little hazing there, I guess. But when you were in Iraq, did you ever feel like in danger, or you?
You know, when I got back from Iraq, I kind of went, "Oh my god, I was actually in a fucking war zone."
Yeah.
But the whole time I was there, I don't know, maybe just because I'd done the road so much that it just felt like another road gig.
It's like being in Detroit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There was at one point where we were doing a performance. I can't remember the base, but I remember they called the place that we did it the Horseshoe, because it was like a like an open kind of area in the middle surrounded by like little buildings, which kind of, I guess, looked like a horseshoe with the openings between the buildings and the area in the center. And we're about to go on, and the general who had met us, she said, that just so you know, every time we've done a performance here, there's been some kind of trouble. There's been an incoming.
Oh, wow.
And we're like, what? So she goes, if you hear incoming or you hear sirens, just drop to your knees and cover your head. And yeah. Now go make them laugh. but nothing happened. Nothing happened. The only any kind of thing was there was a controlled explosion on one of the bases.
Oh.
What, did something happen with you?
Yeah, no, we didn't get anything like that. No. I mean, you know, we went, it was 2 years ago. So if you remember, it was like right before it was right after the Egypt uprising and right before Libya. So, and we almost didn't go on a tour because of that. So, and we were supposed to go to Bahrain. They took that off. We went to Kuwait instead. So they changed it around a little bit, but it was still like we were on lockdown. Like the fact that we've been able to get off and, you know, like we only left the base twice in the 2 weeks we were out there. And it was all escorted. Like, all right, we just got trips to the mall in Abu Dhabi, and then we took a little guided tour of Djibouti, Africa. But I think the thing that happened to me was we were in Kuwait, and one of the bases, and I can't talk about where it was, but it was near a mosque. And I happened to go up right at the time of the evening prayers.
Oh.
So I was dealing with the evening prayers during my set because they were, like, blasting it. So that's, like, the closest I came to any unfriendly activity.
So just people praying.
Just people praying during my set,
God,
which
so
happens a lot.
So disrespectful. I'm trying to do my set here, and you guys are praying to your God.
And the other thing to me is, like, you didn't go to Saudi Arabia, right? We were in...
No, just Iraq and Kuwait.
Yeah, we were in Saudi Arabia, and we were flying out of there, and... And I guess, you know, like, it's a religious country and all that, and they have they do a prayer before they take off the plane. But if you ever, you know, heard a Muslim prayer, if you think German and Dutch sound pissed off, you got to hear a Muslim prayer, and I'm like, and all I hear is Muhammad Allah, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Did you say Muhammad Ali?
Muhammad, and we all pray
we all pray to Muhammad Ali.
We all pray to Muhammad Ali.
I hope we don't fall. I hope we all fly.
What was that?
Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Yeah. I pray this flight in safely.
That was an awful Muhammad Ali, man.
Yeah. I hope you don't have a lot of Muslim fans that we're pissing off right now with the talk of pork and...
Yeah, I can't imagine that the Jew has a lot of Muslim fans. It is time for what's for... Oh, that's awful. Isn't this accent, the, oh, my God, it's time for... It's supposed to be Middle Eastern. That's Indian.
It's more of a 7-Eleven.
Yeah, Middle Eastern is... It is kind of like a phlegmy...
Yeah.
Like... Baruch Shem Kavod B'chato. Is Adam still sleeping?
Yeah, he's still sleeping.
He's
man.
Out. So, okay, so let's talk about in Brussels what we did. I think we could talk about this now. Yeah. When we were in Brussels, we'd heard that there's the red light district. Mm. And for those who don't know what the red light district, it is not a place where traffic lights are designed and made. That was stupid.
What? Well, I think, you know, like, the Europeans have it figured out that they say people are going to go to prostitutes regardless.
Right.
You know, like, in America, they do whatever they want, you know, can to stop it, you know, other than places like Nevada. But they have a place like, all right, if you're going to get, you know, hookers and prostitutes, let's just put it in one part of town. So, you know, that's where everybody could go.
Yeah.
And they regulate it, and they're supposed to get tested, you know, and it's legal there. So that's where we went.
Yeah. The Hooker Town.
Hooker Town.
Which would be a great TV show. Like Hooker Town.
Hooker Town.
Like Cougar Town, but with more attractive women.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we went down to this area. Well, first we went down to like a little downtown area of Brussels, which was really cool. And we had some waffles.
Yeah, very wholesome, too. We saw the palace and everything. Yeah.
And I got to speak a little French, the very little that I know.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui. Bonjour. Then we went down to the Red Light District, and like you had been to one in Amsterdam, right?
Yeah, I've been to I feel like Amsterdam is like the model of all other red light districts. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So
it's the red light district that all try to strive to be.
So yeah, that was my only other experience, and that was back in 2000. So
yeah, because I had never been, and Swanee, you've never been either, right?
No, I'd never been before. I mean,
but I
would I go back? Yeah, I mean, it was a very distracting place to be, you know.
How hot are the girls?
Dude, they are...
Wait. Before we get to that, let's just set it up, like, what it's like. Because I'd never been, but I'd seen, like, specials about it, and I'd heard. But nothing really prepares you for literally seeing hookers on display in a window.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what it is.
And it helped me understand, like, when my girlfriend goes, like, window shopping. She's like, I'm just going window shopping. And now I understand window shopping.
Yeah.
It brings it to another level.
Totally. Like, if Macy's would do that, they would get such a male demographic. Yeah. But, yeah, it really is just, like, hookers, like, posing or flirting through the glass. And they're on display. And then if you want to, if you see one you like, you go over there. They open the door. And it's funny because we got there. And the very first girl, because Adam, God bless him, was a very picky shopper. So he wanted to compare.
Prices,
exactly. So the first girl was... she said it was like a
100 euros.
100 euros, which is like a, what, 150 American?
About 150 American, yeah.
And we're like, well, you know, nothing. No girl is worth that.
That's out of our price
except for my wife, because she listens. but then we went to other ones, and then suddenly it was like, oh, only 40.
40.
So first of all, we were being completely oversold on the first girl. But yeah, and we realized that the hotter the girls, they were more kind of centralized.
Yeah.
And then as you got further down the block, it was like bargain basement price girl. I wonder if that's like, do you think that's how it's set up? Oh, you're not that attractive. You go to the end of the block.
I think so. I feel like it was because remember those, the real hot ones were like at the center of the block. Like the one that I really liked, the one with the glasses and the big boobs was like right there in the center. And then the older ones and the ones that seemed like were a little fatter or whatever were towards the end of the block.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it definitely seemed like that.
It's kind of like strip clubs. Like, it's the weekend girls and the Monday afternoon girls.
Yes. But remember, be careful, because you say 40 euro, but they were also saying that's one position, and if you switch positions...
Yeah. So, and if you... So, what if you get a cramp? Let's say you're going doggy.
Yeah.
And you're doing that, and everything's hunky-dory. Hunky-doggy. And then you get a cramp in your leg, and you go, ow, and you kind of flip her over. She goes, oh, 10 more euros. Like, no, I just got a cramp. Well...
I don't got it.
I mean, what if you like you switch positions, but you say I don't have the money for this? Does she just stop?
I guess I don't know. It's strange. We really didn't have anybody who went in there. Actually, we were just doing a lot of window shopping.
Yeah, no. So. Have you ever been with a lady of the night?
No, never been. But you know, I would. You know, I've thought about it because like we all said, like in one way or another, guys always pay for it.
Right.
You know, if you're gonna buy them dinner. So, and then, but like what Swine said, what was your big thing is like, if you see who goes down there besides us, you're
right,
this guy slept with her and then maybe 100 other guys like him.
And these are some ugly dudes.
Yeah. That quells the deal for me right there.
I don't know what they got. Yeah.
Well, just if I don't even want to be like, I wouldn't even want to be in the same like restaurant as some of these creepy guys.
Oh yeah. No.
So not, let alone a vagina.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure seats more than most restaurants down there. Have you, Swanee, you've never been with a, you never paid for it, just flat out?
You see how long that pause is.
That was a long pause.
But I haven't done it at the red light district. See, I refrained at the red light district.
Where did you pick up a lady of the night? If you don't want to talk about it, do you not want to talk about it? Oh, he's getting.
I'm blushing.
This is what you get for taking my fucking pork. Now answer the question. No. Do you not feel like talking about it?
Are
you?
Wow.
Was it Vegas?
No.
Reno?
No.
Tahoe?
McDonald's.
McDonald's?
Sunset Boulevard, when it used to exist.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Was that a transvestite? Because there's a lot of transvestites up there.
No, it was the one on Sunset, so no.
Oh, Michelle?
Yeah, you know her?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's classy.
Yeah, I think I've talked about this on stage. I've been with one, but I didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
So technically, it was just a really good first date. I've done that line before. It's why you're not laughing. But it's a good line.
So, actually, now that I think about it, I'd never been with a prostitute. I was more of a show, because I was in the red light district in Amsterdam and I told these guys, we went down 2 days in a row to check it out, but I think if you went a third day, it's kind of hard to resist. So my third day, I was like, you know what? Because I had a girlfriend at the time, not the same one I'm dating right now, but I had a girlfriend at the time, so I was like, I can't sleep with a prostitute, but I can pay her to, like, I could jerk off while she's playing with her tits and her pussy. So I could say pussy on this, right?
No.
Okay. So you're going to edit that out.
No, it's okay. Say pussy.
Because what if pussy's for dinner? You don't know.
Pussy was for dinner, we wouldn't be doing a podcast right now, I'll tell you that.
So, yeah. So I never physically been one, but she's been in the room while I masturbated. So it's like going to remembers the old 42nd Street back in the day when New York City was really cool before Disney took over Times Square. They used to have peep show, so it was the same idea. Like, it was just some really more expensive peep show. So
did you prefer New York back that way?
No, you know, it's funny, it was not really, obviously everybody says when New York was cool, but I remember being 15, we used to go down to Times Square all the time because you could buy knives down there, get fake IDs, porn, you know, they'd sell anything to anybody. So we were down there, and this is Saturday afternoon, I'm telling you, it's like 3 o'clock. Streets are packed, and we get mugged.
Wow!
We got mugged in the right now on 42nd Street where Disney is right now, where you couldn't imagine that ever happening in broad daylight, just to get mugged. You know,
and what happened?
Well, you know, we were walking down the street, and
who are you with?
I was with two of my other friends. Just so we were all. I feel like we were all like maybe 15, 14. We couldn't have been. It could have been ninth grade or it couldn't have been 10th grade. So it was like 14, 15, somewhere around that time.
Okay.
Well, we're going to try to buy some knives, and we're walking down the street, and this African American dude puts a dime bag in my buddy's hand, and my buddy wasn't a big smoker, and he bugged out. He's like, because we grew up, you know, I lived in the Bronx, but I grew up in the suburbs, so we weren't as street smart as we should have been. You know, we took a bus down there and whatever, and we're walking. So he puts a dime bag in my buddy's hand. My buddy bugs out, just drops it. He's like, "What's this?" We walk like three more feet, and we get surrounded by six African Americans. And like,
this is like in the middle of the day.
This is the middle of the day, 3 o'clock, stores. People are watching this go down. Nobody does anything. And we were young kids, you know, no more than 15. So we get surrounded, and the guy's like, "Oh, you owe me $10 for that dime bag." We're like, We didn't take it. We dropped it. So, of course, we look for it. It's not there because they must have picked it up right away, you know. And he goes, "All right, you owe me $10. Anyway, you dropped it." I'm like, I had money on me. So, like an idiot, I open up my wallet. I take it out. Open up my wallet. He just reaches in my wallet and takes it. He goes, "All right." And I had like $60 in there, but for a 15-year-old, $60,
it's
I was like,
lot.
That was all my whatever I was doing. I think I was babysitting and mowing lawns. You know, that's a lot of money for a kid. You know, so so just right there, and he just reached in the wild. And of course, they left us alone because they knew they got everything from us. And this is Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock. People, you know, we were looking around. I saw some store owners, saw the whole thing. Nobody said a thing. You know, we got scared to just. You know, got on the bus and went home. You know, we were like, all right, enough of this.
Oh, wow.
So that had to be like 90, probably like 89, 90 around that time. And you know how they cleaned up the city, right?
Yeah, it was
Giuliani.
Giuliani
wanted to get corporations in there, get Disney in there and all that stuff. And he said, one of the things they said is you got to get rid of those sex shops. So they passed all those laws, you know, like you can't have a sex shop near certain businesses, and if you have a sex place, it's got to be, you know, that 60-40 law, like 60% of it has to be legit. That's why if you go to the sex shops in New York City, like a lot of them, you walk in there and they have like Disney films and this films and all this, because they have to have legitimate business in there. They can't just have a sex shop, so it's got to be something else.
Do they have porn Disney?
They have that anime porn, you know, the Japanese stuff.
I remember when I was a kid when I was in Florida, I was working at McDonald's at the time, so yeah, I was probably about 14 or 15, and I was in my neighborhood, and I had it wasn't a Walkman, but it was like a portable radio,
mm-hmm.
Like old school with like the metal band headphones with the little cushion, like orange cushions for the ears.
Yeah, yeah.
I was riding my bike, and I got like surrounded by like five African American kids, and they just, and this is when like, for some reason, kids in my neighborhood had like Chinese stars.
Oh, that was big. That was another thing I think we were going down there for.
Yeah,
too. Yeah.
Like they literally, it was like a like an old west, kind of circling the wagons.
Yeah, and where was George Zimmer when you needed him, huh?
I'm not touching that one.
All right. Well, I mean, it was Florida, black
was
people.
Florida,
I don't know.
Yeah. African American. But yeah, these kids just surrounded me, and I just remember one of them was like, "Yo, what's up, white boy?" And I'm like, "I'm this. I mean, I'm a scrawny man as it is, but back then I was like fucking wimpy little." And I got my headphones like, "Well, I've nothing." And he goes, "Yeah, you was that radio?" "Yeah." And he just literally took it off, put it on, and said, "Thank you," and rode off. And I just started crying. And I remember I like I said, I worked at McDonald's, and this McDonald's like right around the corner from where I was. So I went over there and I walk in and I'm crying, and my boss is like, "Flip, what's wrong? Some black kids took my radio." They called the cops.
Yeah.
Looking back on it now, it was really, I shouldn't have.
Well, it's funny.
Like
it's like,
but it's just, it's the shock of it. It's like, this is really happening? Oh my God.
Yeah, especially like, I'm sure, did you grow up in a suburb where it was mainly, you know, not some.
No, I mean, this was my neighborhood.
Oh, it was your name? Okay.
Yeah, it was, I lived, it was a middle class neighborhood. It wasn't really a suburb. It was like a middle class.
Yeah. But I feel like my story is basically we got mugged, robbed, whatever. Probably more robbed than mugged, but it was because we weren't street smart. You know, like, you don't open your hand and take something from somebody on the street, just plain sense. And if you do, you know, whatever, and you just, you know, whatever, you keep walking, or we could have walked into a store or something. But yeah, it's scary when you're that young. You don't think about those things. You're just, oh my God.
Anything ever happened to you like that, Swanee? Anyone ever take pork from you?
Well, you know what happened to me was, see, where I grew up, it was mainly white people, you know, so not a lot of crime. And but I will say that I had an incident happen where I had a paper out, and I worked real hard, and I saved up for Cal Ripken Jr. baseball card. Cal Ripken Jr. was my idol. I loved him. So I had a baseball card, and I had this kid over at my place, Joe Sheridan. I'm going to call him out. And I went to get him a Mountain Dew, and we were looking at cards and trading cards and stuff. Went to get him a Mountain Dew from the refrigerator, came back, and he was gone. And then I went looking for my, I went through my cards, and my Cal Ripken Jr. was gone, along with a few others. And I know, you know, it was him. So,
so did you ever call him out on it?
Oh yeah, I called him out on it, but I mean, you know, called him out on it, told my dad, you know, but there was nothing I could really.
You could have beat the shit out of him, got your card back.
I that would have been good if I could have, but he was a couple years older than me, and just a big boy. And
well, Joe Sheridan, if you're listening, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I'm coming. Yeah, return that card.
Return that card.
Return that card. I think so. I still remember that. That I don't know. I just
so just to compare and contrast, I got my radio stolen by five black kids in my neighborhood. Circlin got $60 taken directly from his wallet after not paying some guys for a dime bag, and a white kid took your baseball cards.
That's what happened.
I just want to make sure we got all. Give me my fucking pork. You don't deserve that. You haven't suffered, my friend.
But you know that we tell these stories, but I'm sure, like all of us, you know, I'm sure if we talked, if Adam was up, he'd have some kind of story similar to this. But I feel like this generation, if they have that story, all of a sudden it becomes like news, and it's all over the place, and it turns into bullying, and it turns into this. It's like we're pussifying this generation with all. I mean, you know, bullying is wrong. Don't get me, you know, it is wrong. But all of us were picked on. All of us, and we all survived. We all got to this point.
Oh,
you know?
Totally. Like I mean, every time you like go hear a story about some poor kid who killed themselves because they were being bullied at school or cyber bullied, which we never had to deal with, like the internet
that's
and everything.
True.
But still, it's like I feel the same way. You want to just pull them aside and go, look, it's not going to last forever.
Yeah,
it sucks now. But just push yourself through it. There's, you know, they can't hurt you only if you let them.
Yeah.
You know, and then when high school's over, guess what? You go a different place and you have a whole new life and you become a whole new person. And all this does is make you stronger. But
it's better. Just remember, if any youngins out there listening to this podcast, it gets better.
It really does. Like, I mean, if you really think about when you were a kid, all the shit that seems so stressful and so important. Looking back on it now, you're like, God, my life was fucking easy.
Oh, yeah.
That was nothing. It's that old cliche, if I knew then what I know now, but it really is.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much worse shit that's going to happen to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why do you have to start paying bills and rent and health insurance?
And then your girlfriend leaves you, or, you know, the girl that you love won't talk to you or whatever. I mean, all
that
shit.
Or you propose to a girl and she doesn't want to have anything to do with you because you've only known her a month. You've only been hiking a few times.
Or if your girl's got big muffins and everybody in the world is hitting on her.
Yeah, I know that story.
Wait, what happened?
And he said, if your girl's got big muffins and everybody's hitting on her.
Oh, is that what happened to you?
Yeah, I mean, but that was my own fault for picking a girl with such huge muffins.
That,
you know.
But she, you know, there's girls that have big muffins, but she had big muffins and loved to put them on display and, like, wear the least amount of clothes as possible. So it was, like, mostly she loved the attention.
Oh, yeah. I did. Like, I told you about the girl, one of my ex-girlfriends who I said looked just like Megan Fox.
Yeah.
She, like, big natural tits, would do the same thing. She'd go to the beach every weekend wearing, like, barely a bikini, and guys would hit on her right in front of me, and I would say, like, you know, don't you think that's a little fucked up? And she's like, they're just being friendly. I'm like, you've got your fucking tits on display, and you're letting them do it. You get off on this. Those are women with very little self-confidence.
Self-esteem, self-confidence. But then they, somewhere in their minds, they must know that, like, all right, when I hit 30, 35, maybe if I'm lucky, 40, but after that, it's all downhill, and the same guys that were, like, have their drooling and their tongues out are not even going to give you the time of day. You know,
you're going to look haggard.
Yep. Yeah. So that's why you need a girl with depth, right, Swine?
That sounds like a good plan. Where do you find those? But they still got to have big old muffins, too.
I'll tell you something. Like, Allison, she, number one, coolest girl I've ever met, my best friend. Not big muffins. Nice. Very nice. Like definitely happy with them.
Yeah.
But she has definitely made me into an ass man, because she has a nice badunk. And I was always a muffin guy, and she has definitely converted me. So don't overlook the buns as opposed to the muffins, you know.
Like big butts in a can of lye.
You other brothers can't deny. But no, you know what? That's absolutely true. Like, cliche as this is, like, I remember when I was a kid, like, I've always been, like, this physical type, just never cut, never built, never, you know, buff or whatever, but I've always, you know, had the personality and everything. And I remember my mom, when I'd come home, like, oh, you know, Susie doesn't like me, and she goes, you've got a great personality, one day girls are gonna realize that's more important.
Yeah.
And it took a little while, but it's true. And it's the same thing with girls. Like, I remember, you know, as a guy, you're looking at the really pretty girls in class and the kind of homely ones that are fun to hang out with. You never really, looked at them in that way. But then you get older, you're like, you know what? Those are the ones that I'd rather be with.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it goes back to what we were saying. Like, so if you're listening, you're a young kid, you're 14, 15, you're like, this sucks, I'm not getting any girls. So remember, it gets better, because every guy I knew in high school, like the football player, the jock, whatever, the guy that got all the girls in high school, like, they suffered because they didn't have any personality. So, like, when they got older and girls wanted to talk to them and have conversations, they were having trouble meeting, you know, women because they had no personality.
Yeah.
You know?
You should have seen me back in high school when I ran for 40 yards and I scored that touchdown.
Four touchdowns in one game.
It was awesome. I was very popular. Anyway, you want fries with that?
That's why, because I always say I say don't be Al Bundy, because, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always say don't be Al Bundy.
Yeah, that's the guys who peak too soon. It's like, are you a Billy Joel fan?
Somewhat. I mean, it's.
Do you know that song, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant?
Yeah, yeah,
bottle
of course.
Red,
yeah,
bottle of red. I listened to this interview with Billy Joel, and he said it's about because the story, you know, Brendan Eddy with the populist Eddie. Mm-hmm. And he said it's a story about kids who peaked too soon. They peaked in high school.
Yeah.
You know, and then, and it's absolutely true. The ones who peak in high school are the ones that just, they still, the Al Bundys, they still try to live
those
glory days.
They hold on to it, yeah. So it's like, because then you got to live another 60 years where you got to think that when you were 18, that was the greatest time of your life. There's nothing sadder than that.
Yeah.
That's rough.
It is rough.
It's rough.
Good observation there,
It's
Swine.
Rough. It's rough.
But you don't say much, but when you do, it's right on mark.
He's
right
eating his pork sandwiches.
Are you going to eat that, by the way?
I want to eat the pork sandwich, but I come up with a strategy on this trip for breakfast, because it's a buffet. What I do is I wake up at 7, eat, Then I wait till the other guys come and eat, and then I eat again. So I've been eating two breakfasts. I said it wrong again. But I've been eating two breakfasts. How do you say it?
Breakfi.
Breakfi. I've been eating breakfi. Two breakfi every day. So I'm going to eat the pork sandwich, but probably before the
game. Is that going to be one of your lunches?
It's going to be one of my lunches.
Now, if you don't know who Brian Swinehart is, we're not talking about a big fat guy here. So he's pretty svelte, so he just likes to eat.
Yeah. Look, he's already speaking German.
I've always been like that. I can really put it away. So and I like to eat. I just, you know, luckily I don't know.
Were you always like into staying fit? You look like a guy who was like doing sports a lot when you were a kid.
Yeah, I did sports. You know, started with soccer, baseball, and then in high school I did wrestling, and that's like that's what got me.
And that's when you realized you were gay.
Yeah, that's when a lot of things came clear.
If you're going to be a professional wrestler, what would be your name?
That's a good question. If I were a professional wrestler, the Lion? I don't know. Brian the Lion?
Well, but Brian, you're the man of 1,000 nicknames. So you know, it's like...
I do have a lot. Swinefeld, Swine Dog, Be Swine, Be Late.
Be Late?
Yeah, that's my new name over this tour because you guys are calling, hey, I'm still sleeping.
Like, yeah, we're packed and ready to go to the show. Oh, shit. No, but of all the nicknames, what would be your wrestling name?
Man, I always
it has nothing to do with your name, like the Ultimate Warrior.
Master of Disaster. I always liked that one.
Master of Disaster.
I used to call myself Brian the Lion, Master of Disaster, when I was a little kid, 11, 12, you know. That's what I would. I don't know if it would work. I probably wouldn't have a very. I'd have to be a bad guy with that name. But.
Yeah. But then you go rogue.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be a wrestler, being a bad guy is the fun part, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
It's like you get to, like, it's like when you talk about all these guys in movies and they say, oh, when you play the bad guy in a movie, how'd it feel? It's like, feels great because so many times you're, like, trying to play nice and you're suppressing that bad guy.
Yeah.
You're suppressing the guy. Like, I know you do your character, you know, Skippy, and I'm sure, like, Skippy is a lot of what, you know, what Flip is suppressing. Like, this is.
Oh,
what,
totally. Skippy's, you know, my id.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you really want to say to people. So as a professional wrestler, you know, if you're the bad guy, that's awesome because you could just say whatever.
That'd be fun if Skippy Green was like my bad guy wrestler.
That would be an awesome character. Awesome wrestler.
Let me tell you, Hulk Hogan, I'm going to pin you to the mat and then rape you. I'm going to fist you in your ass.
Skippy Green could be the Master of Disasters manager, I think.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Skippy would be a bad guy.
You have to be
manager.
A manager because you get your ass kicked, I feel.
Yeah.
unless you were in GLOW or something. Because, again, he's another svelte guy. So so you probably, unless you were in GLOW, you know, the glamorous ladies of wrestling.
I used to love GLOW. Do you remember the theme song?
No.
We're the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. We're all champions in the ring. We come from the streets. We come from the city. We come from the world where there ain't no pity.
That was classic.
Oh, I remember Hollywood and Vine and, oh, God, the big Hawaiian chick, Mount Fuji, or no, that was a WWF. Yeah, I used to watch GLOW all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was, I didn't even realize why I was turned on by it as a kid. So hot. I'm surprised I haven't tried to do that again.
Yeah, I think they have some kind of league, but it's so different now, like, with, you know, between the internet and, you know, cable and satellite TV and this. Like, there's so much crap out there. Like, where do you find it? Unless you got to find what, you know, it's got to find you almost.
Yeah, yeah. I know it definitely is a different world as far as entertainment. Like, when we were kids, like, there was, even before cable, there were maybe 7-8 channels to choose from.
And even when cable came out, I remember it was like HBO, you know, maybe ESPN if you got it. And, like, and then MTV was, like, the big thing.
Yeah.
Oh, MTV.
And Nickelodeon.
So that was about it. There was, like, four. Even with cable, there was only added another 10 channels maybe.
Yeah.
So.
Did you have that old cable box with, like, the buttons that you'd put?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that kind of brown box, like, those long rectangle and
mm-hmm.
little dial that you went, like, for, like, the top, middle, and bottom, and each button.
Yeah, and then did you mess around with it and try to get, like, the Spice
and all that,
and the Playboy channel? And
oh, God. God. I'm having that flashback to that box now, and, like, the other side of it was, like, a dial that you would kind of, like, tweak if there was static.
Yeah, yep.
God, I'm sounding like my father, but the kids today, they don't know.
But even HBO, if you remember, I remember because my aunt got HBO first, because my parents, like, didn't get cable to, like, we moved out of the Bronx, but my aunt had it, and I'd go over there, and like I'd put on HBO, and it wouldn't come on till like 6 or something. Do you remember that? Because HBO only played old movies.
Yeah,
they didn't
do
like Boardwalk Empire, Sopranos, and all that.
Yeah, no original program.
Yeah, so they only played old movies, and it'd come out at night, you know, like 6. And then, but then they'd have like the HBO After Dark and Skinamax, and that got me, you know, got me through puberty, you know, with the, remember, what was that, the Emmanuel series?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember Young Lady Chatterley?
Young Lady, yeah, that's the other one.
Like, I still have that. I taped it, like, on a VHS when I was a kid, and then I digitized it when I got one of these machines, so I still have the...
and to me, it was always patience was the thing. It's like, all right, because they didn't, you know, it wasn't like a porno where there's every other
second
was porn. It was
a movie.
Lot of
story.
Yeah, there's a lot of story, and you're sitting there, you're like, please.
Just trying to maintain that erection.
Yeah,
like,
just please. Or not go too early just from anticipation, you know? Would you jerk off to Swan?
Pork.
Pork. Well, man, see, you know what? To this day, my mom, we never had cable. We had ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, and Fox. And at our place, we still got that. So, you know what it was for me? I had to get magazines. We had to run to my friend's house, clubhouse, and... He stole all of his dad's dirty magazines, and we'd go to the clubhouse and look at these.
Did every
magazines.
Dad have a dirty magazine?
I mean, that's what was survival back then.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh yeah, no, I remember finding my dad's like Playboy when I was real young. I had no idea what was going on, but I remember finding it, and I remember I had another buddy whose dad like literally had every single issue from like 1960 on.
Oh wow!
Like this was an impressive collection. But I bet if you talk like some kids now don't even know what a porn magazine is.
Well, I'm sure they know what it is, but they're just like, these are pictures.
Yeah.
It's the same thing like, I remember when I was in high school. Oh, God, I don't remember how I got this, but I somehow got my hands on like a German porno magazine.
Uh-oh.
And there were pictures of like hardcore penetration and like shitting on guys. And that was a little too much for me.
Scheiser porn.
Yeah, like. Kind of Scheiser. But then I remember like when the internet first came out. They had, like, the pictures, and I thought that was the most... Now, if you see, like, a picture online, it does nothing.
Yeah.
Our libido has been spoiled.
It has been, man. I'm telling you, because the first time I realized how spoiled or how much we take for granted is when I went to the Middle East, because Swine doesn't know this. His other thing is they
don't allow porn.
They don't allow porn. So you try to go on, like, you know, YouPorn or Pornhub. But if you're slick with the internet, what I learned from these soldiers is you do proxy servers. You know about those, Flip?
No.
It's basically, it's if you want, you know, like if you like people use them at work, like if they're going on Facebook at work, if you go on this proxy server, it hides your where you're going. So like if you're on the network, you can't see that. It just shows that they went to the server. They don't know what they did. So some people who like work and they want to go on Facebook and want not their boss to know they've been on Facebook, they do that. But the soldiers told me, it's like, oh, if you want porn, you go to like hidemyass.com. And if you go there, you could type in any website, and they'll take you there, and it blocks the website. So that's what I was using.
When you're in the Middle East.
And it's so funny. Like, when you want porn, I know nothing about computers, but all of a sudden, I'm freaking programming, like like Bill Gates over here. I'm like, all right, let me get some code. I'm writing binary. Steam loads. I'm writing binary code.
That's why I have it on my my iPad. So.
Yeah, that's a smart way to go. That's what they were saying. It's like, you know,
you know that, what's it, imagination. Sometimes I use that. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, but it's so shot, like.
It's just not real enough. My imagination is just not real enough.
Yeah, I like fantasies more real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I imagine, I always go back to, like, some chick that I've had, you know, like some.
Oh, I usually go back. I usually go to some chick I've never had. Like, to me, that's more fun, because if I go to a chick that I've had. Generally, it wasn't, you know, it's like, oh, it is what it is. But if I check, I never had, oh, man, this scenario in my head is just amazing. You know, like, I'm not sure if you guys are into, like, spiritual stuff or anything like that. Like, Law of Attraction, whatever.
Yeah.
I was watching this one film called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, of course.
It's fantastic. And this one of the people who was talking on it was just saying that the human mind is amazing because... we can literally affect our physical body with nothing but thought. And she gave the example that a man, just using his imagination, no other stimuli, not touching himself, just thinking, can give himself a hard on.
Oh, yeah.
And it's absolutely true. And I think that's just a much more powerful effect as opposed to watching porn and seeing it and being aroused visually. Just using your own imagination.
But I've always been, like, more visual, even though, like, you know, I'm not in the greatest shape. I do like to have sex with the lights on just because I like to look and see, you know, like, so because I always just been more visual. So that's always been more my thing. That's why. So that's why, you know, like, I wish.
The women, though, have their eyes shut.
They definitely do. They're usually in another room.
Impressive. Impressive, Mike.
I do the thing from Cocoon. I learned to do that thing from Cocoon.
I was just thinking, that's so funny. I was just thinking about that the other, because I think about, like, whatever happened to Steve Guttenberg.
Oh, that is a great question, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but I remember that scene from Cocoon. Was it, like, sharing yourself?
Yeah. She, like, zapped her
essence
out into him, and he was having.
Remember the line he said when he got hit?
What was that?
Oh, if this is foreplay, I am dead.
That's great. Because what I thought of that is actually was watching. Demolition Man on cable, like, great before movie. We came out. Great movie. Very underrated, right?
Yeah, I love Demolition Man.
Okay. Good. I always just want Swine's opinion. just want to make sure that people know he's still here. When his mom's listening later, he's like, what happened to my Brian? So Demolition Man.
Where is that Joe Sheridan? I'm going to kick his ass.
So Demolition Man, if you remember, they had the one scene with Sandra Bullock. And they put the thing. It's not the essence, but they have a thing where they put on their head. So I was like, oh, they got that from Cocoon. Like, they must have got that, you know, sharing yourself over, you know, over Wi-Fi, I guess.
And
So it was like, but Demolition Man, if you've seen the, you know, and, you know, everybody criticize, you know, all these critiques come up. But have you seen the new Star Trek Into Darkness?
I didn't. Not yet.
You see that, Swine?
No, I saw the other one, though.
I saw the original, or the remake.
The remake. Okay, but if there was, like, basically, if you see it, I'm telling you, they ripped off Demolition Man. Like, they ripped off, like, 100 movies, but Demolition Man, they definitely ripped off, because they go back and they unfreeze this villain from the past, because now the future has become soft, so they want to bring this villain into.
Oh, that is Demolition Man.
Yeah, exactly. And, and the guy even says, he goes, yeah, because now everybody's soft in the future. And he wanted to start a war, just like in Demolition Man, get rid of, you know, so I'm like.
Well, no, in Demolition Man, the guy wanted to stop Dennis Leary.
Yeah, he wanted to get rid of them, but basically, yeah. But
yeah, well, no, because in Demolition Man, he was unfrozen because the guy wanted to keep things soft, and Dennis Leary is fucking him up.
Yeah. But he also said he got the guy from the past because he knew he couldn't use anybody from the present because they're art soft. You know, it's not like he could get some kind of killer from the present to go after Dennis Leary.
Yeah,
So it's similar, but still, to unfreeze a supervillain from the past to cause havoc in the present. You know, that's Demolition Man.
Have you seen the trailer for the new X-Men?
No, I haven't. But it's like future and past,
right?
Yeah,
it's Days of Future Past, but it has the ensemble, not just from the X-Men First Class, but also from the previous, incarnation.
Yeah,
so it has, Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, what's your name? Fucking from True Blood.
Anna Paquin?
Anna Paquin, the Cyclops, Halle Berry.
Yeah, and...
So it's going to be like Wolverine, like everybody is going to be in this. It looks really good.
I didn't realize that at the end, because if the end of the old X-Men series, Jane Grey, Phoenix, kills Dr. X, but then I didn't realize there was a scene after the credits where he's laying in bed.
Embodies another person.
Yeah, he's recuperating. So,
hello,
yes.
Myra.
So if you're wondering how Dr. X comes back
spoiler,
to life.
Spoiler, if you haven't seen the third X-Men.
Well, I hope at this point you've seen the third X. Now, don't be ruining Rocky One for me.
You know what? To this day, and I know I get shit from this all the time, and I know I've got to see it, but to this day, I still haven't seen The Godfather.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Still haven't seen The Godfather. There's another big one I haven't seen.
The Godfather is a commitment. I could see it's not like, you know, now we watch movies. Like, they don't really make movies like that these days.
I don't mind, like a nice, juicy movie. I like him losing myself in a good film.
Because almost, I could see, even if they had The Godfather today, I could see them taking Godfather 1 and splitting up into two movies.
Yeah, they probably would. Yeah.
Just to make that extra money. And the fact, I think Godfather 1 was like close to 3 hours, right?
Yeah.
That shit was awesome, man. That was good.
Well,
I'm surprised you haven't seen it, because that's the type of movie that you would be doing impressions off of or jokes.
Well, I mean,
I know,
like, I know the basic, like, and I'm like, I'm off with a can of refuse and things like that. And, but yeah, like, there was, what else did I see recently? that I know. Oh, the was it? No, fuck. There was some movie. Oh, The Exorcist.
Oh yeah, I've
never seen
that
The Exorcist because I was always afraid of scary movies.
Still scary today.
To be honest, I laughed. Because, like, I guess I knew what the basic story was, and I'd seen so many specials on it. But I'd always been, like, freaked out about scary movies. And I've talked about this on a past show. And because of Allison, because she loves them, and she's been, you know, she's like, you got to get over this. You know, you're a man.
Yeah.
You're not a kid anymore. So I've watched The Exorcist. I've watched The Shining. I've watched Rosemary's Baby. I've watched, there was another big scary movie that I watched.
Halloween, Nightmare
not
on
Halloween.
Street.
Oh, no.
Friday the 13th.
No, not gore, like, thriller scary. Oh, shit. God damn it. It's like a classic.
Blair
Witch. No. I did see The Conjuring. I saw that in the theaters.
I thought Blair Witch, maybe because it was all the hype going into it.
Blair Witch in the theaters.
I thought it was just such, I saw it in the theaters, too, and I was, like, going in with a girlfriend at the time. We went to see it, and we're, like, all ready to be scared. And literally, there's one scary part, and that's at the end of the movie where they all got their faces against the wall.
Yeah, oh, that freaked me out.
That was, like, the scare. But, like, really, that's the big payoff. But I understand it's the anticipation. It's, like, this is different because it's shot, like,
It was the first one to do, like, handheld.
It's, you know, shot like somebody's home
point
movie.
Of view, yeah.
And there was, actually, I remember Howard Stern. I used to be a big Howard Stern fan. And listened to him all the time before he was on Sirius. And he had people calling in believing that this was actually found footage. Like, they're like, oh, has anybody been looking for the Blair Witch? Has anybody been trying to find these people? So, like, and there's people out there who actually believe that this was really happening.
Well, then they tried to do that sequel to it.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah. It was, like, basically based on that premise that real.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I saw that in the theater actually with the Megan Fox ex, and it was the first time I saw like a scary movie in the theaters. But I had to be manly about it.
Yeah.
I'm with this hot girl, and we're on a double date with another couple. So she's like grabbing my arm, and I'm like.
Now the last time I was really scared in a movie, and like the best if you're gonna see a scary movie, I feel like if you really want to be scared, don't know anything about it. Don't.
Yeah.
No, because I got really stoned. Well, like I do before every movie. And I was with an ex-girlfriend at the time. We went to go see The Others with Nicole Kidman.
I saw that.
And I am sitting there, like, holding on to the chair. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so scary. And, like, if I had known something about it, maybe I wouldn't have been so scared because I had no idea what was going on. I was so lost. I had no idea what it was about. Have you ever seen it, Swine?
Yeah, that's the one where...
spoilers.
They're dead, right? They don't know they're dead?
Yeah.
Big spoilers.
Yeah, they don't know. That's the thing. Yeah, they're ghosts. They're the ghosts, which is I thought was
genius.
It
was a really great.
I thought it was a great flip because.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so I thought it was great because they're the ghosts,
right.
And you think they're getting haunted the whole time until you realize later
they're the
on,
ones haunting
exactly.
this modern day family. Yeah. It was. I saw that on video with my roommate, and I said, "Dude, if we're gonna watch this, it's fine, but we gotta have the lights on." I'm a big, big pussy.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, really, I was like, I hadn't remember being so scared like in a movie. Like, and the other one was because again, I got really stoned was Sixth Sense.
Oh, yeah.
And Sixth Sense is awesome. And then again, didn't know anything about it. Just went into the movie. Like again, didn't any previews or whatever. And went into the movie and like the first half of the movie, I was like, wow, this is you know like. And eventually, it got a little easier because I mean, I was big on the scares. Like,
yeah.
Kid, turn around, there's a dead. It's like, you turn around, dead body right there. And you're
I
like,
remember I was working. I was still living in Florida, and I was working with this comic, and he was the headliner. And he goes up on stage, and this is how he opens the show. This is right when the movie came out. He goes, thank you guys for coming out here tonight. There's a lot of other stuff you could be doing. Could be seeing a movie like The Sixth Sense. I'm not sure if you've seen Sixth Sense. Great movie. Bruce Willis is dead. And
Pissed are the people?
You heard a lot of people go, huh? What? Like, because people who knew the movie couldn't believe he gave away the ending. And I hadn't seen the movie yet. And I was like, oh, that's... And I didn't know what he meant. And then I went to see the movie again with the Megan Fox ex. And I thought that we were going to see Bruce Willis die... And then come back.
Yeah.
So I kind of misunderstood what he said. So the whole movie, I'm watching it. I'm kind of engrossed in it. But in my head, I'm like, well, when's he going to die? And then at the end, when the reveal, it was like, oh. But I still knew that was part of it.
Yeah.
So it was like a half spoiler.
We got to close that door.
Oh, that was creepy.
Talk about ghosts, right?
But just to let you know, guys, we're in the bus now. And we're talking about ghosts and shit. And all of a sudden, the door that separates the front of the bus from the back of the bus where we are just closed.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Creepy.
Wonder if this bus is haunted by Amy Winehouse.
That's right. Our bus driver, who's a German national, very great guy, nice guy. His name is Mike. And we come in the bus and we see a little picture of Amy Winehouse, like right in front of the bus. So we're like, hey, you know, was she on this bus? You know, maybe you were her tour guy. No, he says that he's just a big fan and he's afraid that people will just forget about her. So he tries to.
And also he says it's a warning to the bands that he sometimes travels with, like, don't go too crazy.
And he's loving us because we're pretty tame. I mean, I think Flip maybe had a beer last night. I had a beer the night before. We might have had two beers,
yeah.
But that's about it. We're like two beer queers on this trip.
Yeah, when I was in my 20s, and I've never done coke. I've never done any. Like, the worst I've ever done is ecstasy a few times back when I was younger, you know. And then I, you know, smoke marijuana now. And that's it.
Yeah,
I've never been a big partier. So, were you like in the back?
Yeah,
of the
I did. I had my time. I never was too big. I mean, I went to the University of Albany in New York, and I graduated in 97, so that dates me. But when I got there, they were the number 8 party school in the country. When I left, they were the number 1 party school in the country. So I feel like I did, had something to do with it. But yeah, it was I did drink a lot, and which was bad for me. Because I have Crohn's disease, which you're not supposed to, like, be real, you know, so I try not to. But, I mean, I smoked a lot of pot, obviously, and, you know, drank a lot. I didn't, it's funny because I didn't get into, like you say, ecstasy. I didn't try ecstasy because it was the 90s, but, like, it wasn't really that big till like, later in the 90s, you know, like, and it wasn't so available. And I didn't try ecstasy till I was, like, 24, and I only did it a couple times. Because if you ever, again, kids, if you're listening to this, ecstasy is great for 2 hours, but you're depressed for hours and could be days afterwards because it depletes your serotonin. That's why you get that euphoric feeling. You know, you get a lot of, it releases a lot of serotonin and you get the euphoric feeling, but then when you're off of it, your serotonin is depleted and you're actually depressed.
Is that true?
Yeah. So just say no, kids. Just say no.
See, I never, when I did it, like, I remember the first time I did it, I'll be honest, it was great. I didn't have a hangover. I woke up the next day feeling great. And I did it. I probably did it maybe 10 times in my life over the course of about 10 years.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, the last couple of times I remember having that feeling, like, yeah. Just it was an awkward next day.
Yeah, I went to a music festival. This thing called Camp Bisco. I don't know if you ever heard of the Disco Biscuits.
No,
they're like one of these jam bands. They got kind of pretty popular with Fish and all this Fish crowd.
Okay.
You know, so that's where I did it. I remember. For like, and we did a lot that weekend, a lot of ecstasy. And I remember that whole week afterwards, I was just like, I was seriously just sad. I'd be like sitting there watching a McDonald's commercial and tearing up. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? You know, it was just because I was depressed. And I'm like, I can't. And that's why I only done it like 5 times. But when I did a lot of it, you know, so it was excess. And, you know, I messed around with coke here and there. And I got to say, can we talk about this story? Or I don't think mom is going to listen to this, right? The best coke I've ever had is we did the San Jose Improv, and this is the most cliche story because, you know, like, you get great spot at the Improv. That, you know, if you do San Jose Improv, they give you that suite at that hotel,
yeah.
And it's real nice, and you're looking over the city. And that guy, Justin Hoffman, what's his name? Dustin. Dustin Hempstead, yeah. Dustin Hempstead brought some chick up and had the best coke I've ever done. And that was like the last time I did coke too, but yeah, that was like, and I'm like, oh, how cliche is this? If I die, this will be feature comic dies. So I don't even think I'd probably make it to the back of like Shecky magazine, something. So that would be it. That'd be my story. But she was funny. She was a cute chick. Remember, you were with another chick. You weren't with us at that time. Yeah, because you weren't doing it. I think you were either hitting on some girl. You're like, I don't want to do it. But she brought what's that, DMT?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she's, like, doing the coke, and she's like sipping this thing. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, some DMT. Do you want some? I'm like, no, I'll try to keep my drugs, you know.
Oh, is that the spiritual drug?
No, it's that one that's kind of like ecstasy. I think it's the same. I don't know. They use it as a date rape drug, too, so I think.
Okay.
So it's like
she was going to rape herself,
I guess. And she was hot, too. Like, but, yeah, we were sitting there doing coke and, you know, in a hotel room in San Jose after a set at the Improv. And
yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, I've arrived.
Now, I've been offered coke a few times, but I've never had the desire to do it. Never. Yeah. What about you, Swanee? Like, any big party days when you were younger?
Yeah, I mean, I've done coke, speed, acid.
Jesus.
Mushrooms, weed, obviously. Coke, speed, acid, mushrooms, weed. I don't know. I guess that's probably about it. Okay. Maybe some. Oh, ecstasy, yeah.
Hunter
ecstasy.
S. Tom Swine.
But recently, not so much. But, yeah, I had a time there. And, well, basically, you know, those 2 years out of high school, my buddies and I would always go out to, like, raves or whatever. Just, you know, went to Woodstock 99.
Oh, that's cool.
That was, yeah, just got out of high school. And we went there and we got
all
fucked
up. Wow, that
must
have been blast.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, that was one of the best times I've ever had. Yeah.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Well, guys.
Wait, one question. Swine, were you one of the rioters at
Actually, yeah. I at Woodstock 99, when all that happened, man, I made good bread, because what I did was I took the bus into the town every day, and I would buy as much water as I could. And then I would go and I would sell the water to the people. Because they were selling water for like $5 or $6, and I would sell it for $2, and I would still make a shitload of money. So I ended up paying for my ticket, paying all my expenses, had all this money, and then the riots were happening, and I was right there, you know, and just getting, everybody was getting involved in it, you know, it was fun. But I remember,
and then Joe Sheridan comes up, and you're
Joe Sheridan's
$25 for a bottle, you faggot. Or my Cal Ripken Jr. card back,
man, bastard.
Well, guys, this is time now, part of the show.
Oh, we got sign off. Oh.
Not quite. It's a little part of the show called the Skippy Green Show.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
Boys, how are you?
Good, Skippy.
Hey, Skippy.
Fuck off.
Skippy, you're a mensch, Skippy.
Well, don't mention it. Don't mention it. That's why I headline. All right, boys. Here's a part of the show. I'm going to ask you a question. Same question. And you got to answer it in 10 words exactly. Not 11, not 9. 10 words exactly. You ready?
Okay.
All right, we're going to go with you first, okay? Circling. Kind of fucking name is Circling? That's like I'm circling around to find a fucking punchline. All right, you ready?
Yes.
If you could fuck any type of drug, what would it be and why?
I would fuck mushrooms. Oh, no, that's syllables. Shit. I would fuck mushrooms because they're soft. I got three more words. I would fuck mushrooms because they're soft and gooey. Yes.
Very smooth. Very good. All right, Swanee, you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a different question.
Okay.
If you could fuck dressed up as any WWF wrestler from the 1980s, who would it be and why?
If I could fuck any WWF wrestler from...
No, not if you could... Jesus, the kid doesn't fucking listen. If you could fuck dressed as any wrestler from the
90s... Oh, I'm dressed. Okay.
Yeah. No. You know what? If you want to fuck the Macho Man, by all means, slip him a Slim Jim.
I thought it was a little awkward question. Okay, now I'm better.
Yeah,
so
no,
I'm dressed as the wrestler.
Exactly.
Okay. I would be King Kong Bundy. Okay.
Why?
Because he was fat. And
perfect.
You could give him the avalanche. Oh,
do you understand the concept of 10 words, you deaf pork stealing motherfucker? Jesus Christ. Good enough.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
Very nice. Yeah, so usually we keep it to like an hour, so we're right there, guys.
Oh, cool. Skippy's a little crazy, huh?
Skippy is, he comes in and out. Yeah. Like, he's staying in that bunk right up there.
Is he going to do any time? I know he's pretty dirty. I mean, is he going to do any time on this tour? Or?
Skippy, you going to do any time?
Not right now. I'm fucking your mother.
All right.
Then I'm going to fuck Hunter. He won't even realize.
All right. I hope it sounds okay. The illusion that Skippy's really here, because
yeah,
watching me do this, especially me looking in the mirror, it looks really stupid.
Lucky there's no cameras on.
Yeah, thank God. But no, thank you guys so much for doing this. Maybe we'll do another one because we're here for another couple of days.
Yeah, maybe we'll
we're
do one around your birthday. Week. You got a birthday coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
We'll do a birthday
This
podcast.
Is going to go up after my birthday, but to those listening, my birthday was this past Sunday, November 10th. So, yay, 26 years old.
Nice.
Can't believe it. All goes by so fast.
So quick, so quick.
So quick. But, yeah, you know what? We'll try to do another one from the road. Maybe Adam will be on the next one. Maybe we'll try to interview Mike, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, our bus driver.
He's got a lot of stories. A
lot of great stories, yeah. But in the meantime, where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook, at Russian Comic, on Twitter, at Russian Comic. Also, I produce a web series, and Swine is one of our producers, writers, actors, TheRealPotheads.com. We're actually doing a new series that's getting pretty popular on Daily Motion called The Walking Douche, which
nice.
Is based on The Walking Dead. But they're instead of zombies, they're hipsters, and that's why they're douchebags. So, yeah, check out TheRealPotheads.com. Got all the videos up there and stuff, and at Russian Comic.
Swanee?
You can find me on Facebook and Twitter, too. Yeah, basic stuff.
What would they look for? Just find me, man. Look for me. I'm there.
PulledPorkSandwich.com.
Fucker.
No, Brian Swinehart, I guess probably if you Google that, maybe something will come up.
You're very good at self-promotion,
man. I know,
man.
I'm terrible at that, but... I'm going to come for you, Joe.
And Joe Sheridan better watch his ass, absolutely.
Yeah.
And excellent. And, guys, you know where you can find me. Twitter at Flip Schultz, Facebook. For some reason, I still have a MySpace account. I guess it's still active. Instagram. And if you're in the Tucson area, the weekend of December 7th, I'm going to be at Laughs in Tucson, so go check that out. Remember, all my CDs available on iTunes, including Skippy Green's CD, Lick My Balls. And
nice.
Thank you guys so much for doing this. Like I said, guys, tune in next week. Probably do another podcast from somewhere in Europe as we're driving through Germany right now. And guys, thanks again. We'll see you later.
Thanks, Flip.
Thank you.
No problem.
Bye.
Oh, shit. Normally the theme song would be playing now, but because I'm an idiot, I turn the volume. Let's try this again. God damn it. This is so unprofessional. Sorry about that.